The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
UAB Director's Chair is on again. Thank you so much for watching us here on our Tony Curry YouTube channel. By the way, we do a lot of different things here at Tony Curry Radio. We want to make sure that everything is as easy as possible to find. We're now into our fifth year. I can't believe we've been doing this for 5 years. And of course, Mark's been a big part of that here. He's the athletic director for the UAB Blazers. But if you want to go find the Tony Curry YouTube channel, you can do that. You can also look it up by show title. So you can look up the UAB Director's Chair YouTube channel itself to make it even easier to find. And of course, you can also hear it on the TKR app, which we have over 100,000 followers every single week. It airs at least five times. How you doing, Marcus? Everything good?
I am excellent. Thank you.
Great. I'm doing fantastic. Loss against the Tennessee Volunteers. Not a huge surprise there. Couple of touchdowns late made it a little closer. They put up a 24 spot against an SEC football team that's got a defense that obviously a lot of people is always chiding over. So that's always a good thing. But I know you had a nice visit in Tennessee. Your overall take of the performance of your football team and what you got away and what you guys did better in that game as you take the week off and get ready for Army next week?
Yeah, you know, I think Tennessee is probably a top five team. They're definitely a top 10 team, and they missed a field goal to beat Georgia. Had they made that field goal, which they should have, they'd be top five right now. So they're an excellent team. They're got a great shot to make the playoff again. They're pretty complete. They're just big. They're big up front on both sides of the ball, and that's where teams like UAB, and I don't just mean us, that's where we struggle a little bit. Finding big people that can move is the hottest commodity in recruiting. It always has been, but now, you know, with the ability to transfer around and pay people, it's just really, really tough. They're a very popular group. So anyway, that's where you'll see us be different than people like than Tennessee and certain people that really kind of design their team around that. Those are the areas where we might struggle a little bit. But we didn't have any injuries, which was really positive. Because again, when you have a physical difference that's that different, that's something you worry about. So it's a football game. You're going to feel like you got some bumps and bruises and cuts and scrapes. You're going to have that, but we didn't have anybody seriously injured. So, you know, we're taking the week off here, and I don't mean not practicing. I'm saying we don't have a game. We've practiced and met every day, as usual. They're taking it a little bit lighter this week, just again, to take advantage of, get some guys off their feet, get them kind of their legs back under them in some cases, taking full advantage of being in the training room as much as you can be. You know, this is ice and all that. And let's reduce some inflammation that people have so that we can be back and hopefully fully healthy for Army. Army is tough. Army is going to be tough again. They don't have their quarterback that they had last year, but they're really good. You know, they lost their first game to Tarleton State. And I think immediately the nation, especially our conference, was like, holy cow, Army's not that good. Well, then they beat Kansas State. Mm-hmm. And so you go, how did that happen? And I actually read an article yesterday where the coach at Chattanooga, they had just played Tarleton, and he said, that's the best team I have ever seen.
Yeah, they're pretty good. They're pretty good.
That's what he said. And so, you know, so what it means is Tarleton's not bad, right? Yeah. So Tarleton's obviously very good. And then they took, they were down, Army was down 21 points to North Texas, came back, tied the game, took them to overtime, and they did lose, but says a lot about Army's team. So Army actually plays tonight against East Carolina. We're off, obviously, and then they'll come down here next week. So should be a good game.
11 o'clock, it's going to be an ESPNU game, too. You can watch it on TV, but get on up and help out your UAB Blazers. Of course, you also have home games against Memphis and South Florida later on in the year, a couple of top 25 teams, South Florida. Of course, a lot of people talking about the Bulls this year, and they'll be at home so a little bit later on.
Man. Our league has been outstanding.
Oh,
in the non-conference,
unbelievable! So yeah, it's more than a one bid league for sure.
State.
Yeah, and by the way, congratulations to Jalen Kitna, ranking fifth right now in passing yards in college football. You want to see some slinging? He's getting it done through 364 this past week,
he's a great passer. We have several scouts at our practices every week. There's several at every game. He's a draft pick for sure. And assuming he's healthy, I mean, he's got a lot of talent. He just hasn't played a lot of football. He played half of last season and had not played really since high school. Took a few snaps at Florida, but not anything meaningful. So he's really just kind of getting the game back. Yep. And this is a funny term, but people in sports kind of understand this. The game is slowing down. Mm-hmm. And what that means is when you first go out there on the field, everybody is so fast. Mm-hmm. That everybody just looks like this blur. They just look like they're running around and you can't, and your eyes are this big and, the whole thing. But over time you settle in and you become used to that speed. And so that's what people say is the game is slowing down, meaning it doesn't feel like everything's sure. in a rush.
Yeah.
And so I think finally that's starting to happen for him a little bit, which is a good thing. And
it doesn't help his dad. Doesn't help a whole lot that his dad was an NFL quarterback either. I mean, that's always nice to get on.
I watched that with Peyton Manning as a teammate, and the things that he did to prepare for games, nobody else was doing. Yep. But he had that advice of a pro saying, hey, this is how you get ready for a game.
Going into a game where you're a 40-point dog, it is what it is. Tell me what Trent Dilfer does, Coach Dilfer does when he first of all, I'm assuming he scripts plays. I know a lot of coaches script plays at the beginning of football games. When you go into a game where obviously you're expected to get blown out and you want to keep it close, and the longer you're in the football game, the better you have a chance to win that game. The last thing you want to do is get down 21-0 10 minutes into the football game. When he scripts plays, does he script according to obviously who he's playing, not just the matchup, but the actual team itself?
Yeah, and you mentioned being down 21-0. Again, Tennessee did that same thing to Georgia. So as our fans look at it, you can please be objective and just know this. Tennessee is great. And he scripts the beginning. And I would say most people do that for their first series, but you don't know how long that series is going to last. Is that first series a 3-play drive or a 10-play drive? Are we going to punt? Are we not going to punt? It's a little bit, yes, you script it, but in the words of Mike Tyson, everybody has a plan until you get punched in the mouth. And then, and then all of a sudden your plan may change. But yeah, it's all scripted early on.
All right. Army's coming up here next. We mentioned a couple other games. We're certainly going to get into some more college football throughout the season. This is the UAB director's chair. He is the athletic director for the UAB Blazers, and greatly appreciate not only his partnership, but his friendship as well. A good friend of mine, and looking forward to a basketball season. Got a text yesterday from Mr. Hardicroft, sending out some tweets there, getting ready for basketball season. And I shame on me for not bringing this up, because it's something that we actually mentioned on this show almost a year ago, but you've got some renovation going on down there at Barta Arena. We need to talk about that, brother. I know it's not going to be ready until next season, but, some pretty big stuff going on down there.
Yeah. It's a huge project, that I'm really excited about. We've been working on this for probably 5 or 6 years. And it takes that kind of time really to put something together. Now, we haven't been raising money for that amount of time, but coming right out of the pandemic, when we got the invitation at the end of the 21 football season, in October of 21, we got the invitation into the American, and we were, where are the areas that make us very different? And the arena was something that we'd been wanting to do, but we needed to finish things like the basketball practice facility first. Mm-hmm. And so what we've learned is we can take projects and we can do about anything we want to do, but we can't have like multiple fundraising projects happening at the same time. Yeah. We sort of need to take them one at a time. And I'm just saying, like, the capacity of our staff size and the capacity of our fan base, donor base, community, that's been more successful for us. So this is our last season in Bartow, as you know it. But the Board of Trustees, in fact, it was last Friday approved. Was it last Friday? Two Fridays ago, they approved the way the project is going to look aesthetically on the outside. And we'll request the fourth and final phase of approval at the next board meeting in November, if everything stays according to plan. And I think that it will. And that what that is them approving the finance plan and and then choosing a contractor. So we don't have a contractor yet, but that'll be, again, hopefully coming up very soon. But it's a new club at Center Court on the concourse, where you can be in the club and see the game at the same time. It's a renovation of the entire concourse, including the bathrooms. It's some people may not even realize this, but the lower bowl, most of the lower bowl is retractable seating, and it's pretty old. It's old technology. It doesn't quite, you know, like it comes out in angles and it doesn't quite fit right. And the seats are too small and there's not enough leg room. So we're totally redoing all those all the way around. We're moving students to center court seating. So we'll have them both behind the basket and center court. And then the seats behind the basket today, if you're in row one, you're about 32 feet from the court. We're bringing those instead of this sort of crescent shape on the end. We're going to bring those all the way to the back of the goal. So, so if you are sitting behind the basket, you're much more involved and in the game. New hardwood. There's some technical things that don't matter to fans but are important to our team, like redoing the surface, like the that wood that you see. There's two wood surfaces when you come to a basketball game. There's the permanent floor, and then we put a temporary floor on top of that. We're going to redo that permanent floor that's original to the building, and you know it's compressed like concrete today. We're going to redo that, and then we won't need that portable floor. Well, why does that matter? Well, it matters with the three teams who practice and play in there. We're constantly picking up the floor, putting down the floor, picking up the floor, putting down the floor. It's a lot of work. It takes a lot of time to do it. And so it's not efficient use of space for our teams. So we'll totally redo that and make it better for the teams, and they'll be able to use that. And we have the basketball practice facility, which is phenomenal. But once they get into season, they like to come over and shoot as much as they can. Mm-hmm. And there's a crossover with volleyball season ending and basketball starting. And, you know, that means you got to put up goals. You got to take down goals. You got to put the nets, take down the nets. You're constantly doing that. And we'll still have to do that. But if you don't have to deal with the court too, that should help. So there's a lot of really exciting things about it. And the last thing I'll say is in building this concourse, not only does it create a new, I'm going to call it atrium, this entry lobby that's a is a space that we don't really have today. So it's going to create grandeur, and it's going to create a gathering space inside the building that isn't yet past the ticketing system. But we're going to create a Hall of Fame. We have a Hall of Fame in name, meaning we have inducted people into the Hall of Fame, but we don't have a place where it's displayed. And we're going to display, we're going to create a Hall of Fame display that I'm really excited about.
Yeah, that'd be good.
We have great history here. We just don't, we don't have any imagery of that great history anywhere. And the arena is our centerpiece in terms of facilities. And that's the best gathering spot, not just for our sports fans who attend here, but all the people that come here for so many other community events.
Yep. I was on, he's Mark Ingram, by the way, the UAB athletic director, you know that, the UAB director's chair. Sometimes we speak before we actually talk this time, when we just jump right into it. And I know I can ask you anything. You'll tell me to shut up if you don't want to answer, but you answer pretty much everything I threw out there. I was talking about UAB this morning on Fox 6. We were talking about the switchover between Bruce Pearl and Stephen Pearl. And the question was, what's it like to follow in your father's footsteps? I kind of took the entire conversation hostage, and I just ripped it out of Mike Dubberly's hand. And I said, wait a minute. I said, first of all, if you're an Auburn fan, I feel like I've been absolutely hoodwinked here. He's 65, had no clue that Bruce Pearl, a guy that's taken my program to the Final Four twice, has really put Auburn on the map. I mean, and that's the one thing about the big three here, UAB, Auburn, and Alabama. I mean, all three basketball coaches are just top of the line, the best of the best, the best. Yeah. And all of a sudden I'm getting this. I didn't even know Stephen Pearl was on his crew. I didn't. I don't know enough about Auburn basketball. I could tell you everyone plays for UAB and of course who's under Andy Kennedy and everyone else, but I don't follow Auburn as much as I would follow UAB. But all of a sudden I got this Stephen Pearl cat coming in. And I feel like I had no say in the mix as a fan. And I want you to explain, you're an athletic director. You saw this with Gene and then Murray, but it wasn't.
You want to know how it is? Ask Murray Bartow.
Exactly. It's really difficult, first of all. It's really hard to follow in the mix. But can you just talk about, from a fan standpoint, this Auburn job was not a destination job until Bruce took it. He's elevated this program to the point where, and obviously, you know, when Lebo came in and they had the brand new arena and everything else, now everything's set in place. But I do feel like they probably could have done a coaching search and found a coach that, quite frankly, certainly has a lot more experience than Stephen Pearl does. Yeah. I understand why it's happening. I understand where it goes. I also know that it rarely works when you have a coach in waiting. We've seen this over and over and over again, and it usually falls flat on its face. Could you please talk about that as an athletic director? Do you give a damn about what the fans say when you got Bruce Pearl coming and saying, listen, it's going to be my son, or did they have any say in that? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. So I've known Bruce a long time. I used to work with Bruce when he was at Tennessee and Stephen was on the team. And so I've known Stephen since he was in college. I like Stephen a lot. He's a super friendly guy. He was a great player in this way. He was not like a lot of people kind of laugh. He's like, he wasn't a great player. He worked really hard at it. His effort level on the court was twice of everybody else. And that's what made him, I don't know if I should call him a great player. I want to make sure I define it right. Like, he was very effective. Mm-hmm. He would come in and he wouldn't be in long, but like, he'd have 4 points and he would play incredible defense and he'd have a save, a ball save, out of bounds stuff, hustle play stuff. And he would inject, you know, energy and life into the team at critical moments of the game that was really important. So anyway, that was him as a player. And as far as this transition, this has clearly been something that has been talked about a long time, you know, and the reason that I say that is because they already had a contract worked out for Stephen. They already had decided that Bruce was going to stay and work as special assistant to the AD. That didn't all just happen the day that you heard about it.
No,
that didn't just poof. You know, you don't get approval to do those things from the president and your board and all the people that have to weigh in on it. So that's something that clearly had been talked about a while. And then, you know, your question, though, was, do I care what the fans think? I care what the fans think. The difference is in our coaching searches is that fans don't have information that we have. It's not that I'm smarter. The athletic director's not smarter. I just have information that the fans don't have. So I'm just going to make some stuff up as hypothetical.
Sure.
You're in a coaching search and people go, well, how come you don't go hire Tony Curry? Tony's this, he's from Birmingham or he's from Alabama. He's got family here and he should be perfect. And he's been, well, because I know through Tony's boss, who I used to work with, or somehow I know, or I see a convention, that Tony has an anger management problem and he has to seek counseling.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of baggage there. So the fan doesn't know that because it's private. There's just things that's a good example of stuff that we learn through a search or we already know. And yeah, you are a good coach, but there's these other things you've got to decide. Are you willing to take it on? And maybe you are, depending on what it could be. Maybe you are. And I've had people tell me, hey, I knew this coach had a reputation for being super difficult, but man, we got to win because he wins 72% of his games. And then 2 years later, they fire him because they go, God, I knew he was difficult, but I didn't know he was like that. Yeah. You know, and so it's that. And because it's you're talking about personnel matters. Those are private. And you can't just outwardly say it. You can't just come out and say, well, we've had to, you know, put this many notes in Tony's file and we've had to reprimand coach so-and-so this many times and for this many things that aren't public, but are important. And sometimes circulates through agents. Agents know it and will tell you. Search firms know it and will tell you. And so sometimes this obvious thing to a fan would be accurate if there wasn't all this other
Yeah, I just feel like I'm walking down the aisle to go marry this woman that I've been dating for 10 years. And when I get up there, it's someone different. And I'm like, who are you? Oh, I'm her sister. She decides she doesn't want to marry you, but I love you and I want to be with you. And you know me very, very well. Yeah, I've been with my sister for 10 years. And I'm like, hold on a second. The timing to me just doesn't feel right. As an Auburn fan, I'm upset about this. Because obviously there's a huge difference between Bruce Pearl and Stephen Pearl. I don't care if he knows everything about what Bruce knows. They're two totally different guys. Bruce is a Hall of Fame guy. And all of a sudden you're telling me a couple of weeks before we start basketball season that he's not going to be my coach. I just, for me as an athletic director, it's got to raise your eyebrow a little bit, doesn't it? Weren't you kind of like, hold on, wait a minute.
Look, and I haven't talked to Bruce about this and we exchanged the text yesterday and so I don't want to speak on his behalf, but I know Bruce reasonably well, and I will tell you he wants Stephen to be successful.
Sure.
Right. So he's not going away. Now what does that mean exactly on game day? What does that mean in practices? He and Stephen have figured that out. They've already had that conversation. But if you think that somehow Bruce isn't advising him and continuing to assist, you're wrong. Now, does that mean that Steve will have the same level of success? Time will tell. I don't know. But, you know, I like I said, I'm a fan of Stevens. I think.
Did it happen sooner than they wanted it to? Did it happen sooner than it was supposed to?
I don't know.
Okay.
But
would you tell me if you knew?
No, but I don't know the answer.
It's just the timing just doesn't smell right to me. And as at Alabama, it's a culture. At Auburn, it's a fit. I don't know what you'd call it at UAB. I really don't. At Auburn, you're part of the family, and truly, this is a family move, and you don't fit or you do fit. At Alabama, you have to live the Alabama culture. You have to be part of a call. That's why a guy from the West Coast doesn't work at Alabama. You have to be part of Bears boys or something like, and so I get that. And so all of a sudden, right before basketball season, it's a family thing. And Auburn fans care more about the family than they do anything else. They'll be the ones that will not turn their father in law.
They don't care about it more than winning.
Well, it's close. Yeah. I mean, they will go blood before they'll go anywhere else. There's a lot of Auburn fans. I'm just telling you, and I got a lot of them. They're friends of mine, including a kicker that played there. A lot of them are like, you know, we're all behind this guy, but gosh, we sure wish we had known. That's all they're saying. You know, you got my 100%. I'm behind you, but damn it, he better win 20 games this year because,
But that's every coach everywhere. I mean, find a coach where a fan base wouldn't say that. So, look, here's the upside. I guess this is what I would say to the Auburn fan. One, Bruce isn't going away. Two, they were able to keep the entire staff together. Right. You've got the entire nucleus of everybody that's there. So, you know, that's the advantage. I guess if they go through the year and the year is a total disaster, then they may ask themselves, why did we do a 5-year deal? But I don't think it'll
you almost have to do a 5-year deal these days anyway. So, I mean, it's not like you can't do it.
Yeah, in the modern era, you can't sign somebody for less than that.
No, you really can't. It's just that buyout that's probably going to get you. But I'm sure Bruce maybe had something to do with that as well. Great stuff, my friend. UABSports.com. UABSports.com is the website for tickets. You got the week off. Take a deep breather. Get ready for Army. 11 o'clock ESPNU game down at Progressive. I'll be there for that game. It's going to be fantastic. Also, coming up here on October 3rd, which is next Friday. Is that next Friday? Next Friday. Their Black Jacket Symphony is going to be coming into town, and they're doing a Yacht Rock night. You know, if you've ever seen the Black Jacket Symphony, they're fantastic.
I mean, I have never seen them, but everybody says they're great.
They take albums. It could be the Beatles. It could be Zeppelin. It could be Michael Jackson. Yeah. It could be Prince. It could be AC/DC. They've done Back in Black. They'll take an album. They'll play it from start to finish, and it sounds so much like the real deal. It's amazing. So they're doing a whole night dedicated to Yacht Rock. And I was sitting there talking to a friend this morning who I'm going to be going on the show with, and we were trying to decide what's the first song you think of when you hear Yacht Rock, And what song would you like to hear live from the original band of a Yacht Rock? Everyone says Hall & Oates. For some reason, I think of Pablo Cruz and Orleans. I just think about those two. I heard Dance With Me the other day. I was like, man, that's a great Yacht Rock song. And I know like Daryl Hall hates the whole Yacht Rock thing. I think it's great. Whenever you can take a genre and turn it into something else and sell it, go for it. But give me one song or a group or something that really reminds you of Yacht Rock and then something you want to hear live.
Christopher Cross screams yeah. Yacht Rock to me.
And he just played at the Alabama Theater, not the Alabama yeah. Theater, but the new shindig down there at downtown.
I mean, and I don't say that just because of the song Sailing.
Yeah.
But that scream, that is Yacht Rock. I mean, yeah. That is.
No doubt.
Yeah, Christopher yeah. Cross is all over. Yeah, Hall & Oates for sure. I think it's fun. I think it's fun. I've seen I want to tell you there's like a wedding band and that maybe they're called Yacht Rock or the Yacht Rockers or something like that. I mean, there's if that's the sort of, you know, feel of energy that you want at your wedding reception, yeah. that, you know, there's people that do that. I think it's fun.
Yeah, it'll be good. All right, my man. We'll catch up next week. Thank you so much and have yourself a wonderful weekend.
You do the same. See you, pal.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.